you would, please go to the book of Nahum chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 9 through 14. Nahum chapter 1, verse 9. What do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. Verse 11. There is one come out of thee that imagine evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. And the Lord had given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. So the prophet Nahum is not making this up. The prophet Nahum is speaking to the people in Nineveh concerning the word of God. He's speaking to the evil people in Nineveh, and he's telling them about the destruction that God is about to bring on them. And not only them, he is also speaking to the children of Israel that are living in Nineveh, that are being mistreated by the Assyrians and by Nineveh, because we know that Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. So just like God went and met Moses in the burning bush, in the back bush of Midian, and told Moses, I'm going to send you back into Egypt where you have fled from, to deliver my people, because I have heard their cries, is what God said. I have seen their affliction. I have seen what the Egyptians have been doing to my people, even though I am the one that has allowed them to be enslaved. I have heard their cries. Amen. And I have now come to send you into Egypt to tell the Pharaoh to let my people go. So God is speaking to Nahum, and he says to Nahum, tell this wicked counselor, the king of Nineveh, that I am about to destroy him because he has oppressed my people. And what God is saying, I am not going to speak a second time. Basically, God is saying he's not going to speak a second time to your enemies. He said in verse 9, what do you imagine against the Lord? He is asking the Assyrians and the king of Nineveh, the people of Nineveh that have enslaved and have been mistreating the Hebrews. He is saying to them, what are you imagining against the Lord? Because what God is saying, when you imagine to do evil against his people, you are actually trying to do evil against God. And I remember clearly in scripture when the apostle Paul thought that he was doing well by persecuting the people of God. God met him on a road to Damascus, and he said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, who am I persecuting, Lord? He had no idea that when he was attacking the people of God, he was actually attacking God. So Nahum was told by God to go and ask the question, ask Nineveh, why do you imagine these things against the Lord? And he's saying, tell them I'm going to make an utter end. The affliction that the people of God are being afflicted, God is saying, it will not rise up a second time. He will not speak to your enemies a second time. He will not tell your enemies to stop a second time. This is what God is saying. And the reason he will not have to say stop a second time is because he's going to utterly destroy your enemies, which are his enemies. Hallelujah. And if he has utterly or is going to utterly destroy your enemies, there is no one for him to speak to a second time. And this also, what God is saying in this verse as well is this. You will not have to suffer the afflictions you have suffered at the hand of your enemies a second time or anymore. God is saying to your enemies, I will not speak to you again to leave my people alone, to leave my church alone, to leave my children alone. He said to the Pharaoh 10 times, he said to the Pharaoh of Egypt, let my people go so that they can go and worship me in the wilderness. God is saying to the unbeliever, to the unrighteous, to the unjust, to the unholy, leave the believers alone so that they can worship and serve me in peace. He said 10 times to the Pharaoh, let my people go. He sent Moses after 400 years to say, I am said to let my people go. But the Pharaoh refused to. Moses asked him, he says, who am I supposed to tell the Pharaoh or the children of Israel that has sent me to deliver them? Amen. From this bondage that they've been in for these 400 years. And the Lord said to Moses out of the burning bush, tell them that I am has sent you. Tell the Pharaoh in your life that Jesus Christ has sent you and that they're to release you so that you can serve your God in peace. I don't know about you, but I know as a believer that persecution is real. The Church of Jesus Christ is really and truly persecuted. You might have family members that are persecuting you, family members that are unsaved, that think that you have gone mad. Amen. That is persecution. Family members that don't even want to hear you say the name of Jesus. As soon as you begin to say the name of Jesus, they're ready for you to shut up. Family members or spouses that are standing in the way of the other spouse going into the house of God. That is persecution. And God is saying, let my people go, that they can serve me. It is okay if you don't want to serve God. But I am telling you today, it is persecution if you are trying to prevent someone who is willing and is ready and is wanting and is desiring to give their life to Jesus Christ, and you're standing in their way. That is persecution. And with persecution comes the wrath of God. You know, in Acts chapter 9 and verses 4-5, it says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. If someone in your family wants to serve God, get out of the way so that they can serve God in peace. Because I am telling you, if you do not get out of the way of the person who is desiring to give his or her life to Jesus Christ, desiring to serve God with all their heart and mind and soul, and you're standing in their way, you will be removed out of the way. Man will not remove you out of the way. God himself will remove you out of the way. Hallelujah. Just like he removed Saul. He took Saul to the ground. The Bible said he blinded Saul for 3 days. He physically blinded Saul. Saul could not see for 3 days. Hallelujah. Let that not be your portion. You have to get out of the way. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Understand that when you come against the body of Jesus Christ or anyone that is serving God, or you are preventing them in any way from fully serving the Lord, their God, they can't pray in the house in the spirit because you don't believe in praying in tongues, or they can't even pray in the house in English because you have the spirit of the Antichrist in you. You are coming against God. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Acts chapter 9. Verses 1-8. I'm going to read it for you. It says, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest. Ha! He went, listen, breathing out what? Threatenings. If you are a Saul breathing out threatenings and what slaughter to kill somebody against the disciples, the believers who are the disciples of Jesus Christ, amen? Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the body of Jesus Christ, went to the high priest and desired of him, who, the high priest, letters to go, what, to Damascus, to the synagogue. Saul is so messed up in his mind before he became Paul. Saul is wanting to slaughter believers, anybody that is called, is named by the way, because back then it was called the way, it wasn't called Christianity. Amen? Any follower of Jesus Christ was called the way because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the light. He went to the high priest and got letters so that he could go to Damascus as if he wasn't doing enough damage where he was. He went to Damascus, where into the church. Yeah, Acts chapter 9 and verse 2. He went into what? The synagogues where the believers would meet. That if he found any of this way, if he found any Christian, listen, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He was going from city to city, from town to town, persecuting God's people, looking for Christians to arrest, to bring back to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And as he journeyed, God said, enough already. Enough of the persecuting of his church. Enough of the persecuting of his daughter. Enough already of the persecuting of his children. God says enough already. He's going to stop you like he stopped Saul. Amen. On the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 9 and verse 4. And he fell. No, verse 3. And as he journeyed, so Saul is on his way to Damascus now. He got the letter to go arrest the believers. As he journeyed, he came near where? Damascus. And suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. You see, the presence of the Lord will make you fall out. Hallelujah. You know, Moses asked God, can I see your face? And God said, Moses, you can't see my face. Nobody can see my face and live. Hallelujah. He said, I'll show you the back of me. But if you see me, you will die. The presence of the Lord, the light of God, shone from heaven round about Saul. And he fell to the earth in verse 4 of Acts chapter 9 and heard a voice saying unto him. You see, God is speaking out of heaven to your enemies. Can I just tell you that? He is speaking out of heaven to your enemies. And the voice said unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Do you know that believers persecute believers too? Listen, I don't know how you could be too much Christian. I was listening to a radio show some years ago, and I have stopped listening to that radio station just because of the comment that this DJ said to a caller. A caller called in, and I don't quite remember what it was about, but the caller called in, and the caller quoted a scripture to the DJ. And the caller said, you know, the Bible says you will reap what you sow. You know what the Christian, this is supposed to be a Christian radio station. You know what the disc jockey said to that caller? Oh, it ain't always got to be like that. You know, we don't need the quoting of the scriptures today. It ain't got to be like, I'm like, what? This is supposed to be a Christian station. It is supposed to always be about the scriptures. She shut the caller down and said, we ain't trying to hear the scriptures today. No, the scripture, the word of God, is the only true, right, and just, and pure answer. And the scripture is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder bone and marrow. You understand that the scripture that the woman quoted offended the DJ. You understand that the Apostle Paul was offended by the way. He was offended by the believers because he was warped in his mind. Amen. He had a distorted view of things. He had a distorted view of Jesus Christ. He did not understand the ways of Jesus Christ. I've been told you're too Christian. How are you going to be too Christian? You're too holy. How are you going to be too holy when God has called us to be holy and spotless lambs? Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I can't do this faith thing. I'm done with this faith and thing. What? The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Persecution coming from the house of God. God says, you're persecuting him. And he says what? Paul, it is hard for you to kick against what? The pricks. You can't kick against God. Because when you come against the body of Jesus Christ, he says you're coming against him. And he trembling, because now he realized, in verse 6, he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, he suddenly came to his senses. God told him straight up, you're fighting me, not the believer. You're trying to fight God. And it says, you're going to turn into dust. You're going to turn into powder. And he said to him, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Listen, verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. You wonder why, as a believer, you're going through certain things. It's because you are persecuting other believers. You wonder why the world is the way it is. It's because they're constantly persecuting the body of Jesus Christ. Everybody witnessed what happened to Paul. They stood what? Speechless. They heard a voice, but they didn't see no man. So you see, the enemy hears the voice of God. They might not see him, but they hear him. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, in other words, he got up, opened his eyes, he saw what? No man. Blind. God blinded him. But they led him by the hand and brought him into where? Damascus. And you know what's amazing? When he goes into Damascus, when his physical eyes were shut, when he became physically blind, he began to see spiritually. God had to shut his eyes so that he can begin to see through with the eyes of the Spirit. And the same people that he was going to Damascus so that he could bring them to be slaughtered, bring them to persecute them, bring them to Jerusalem to lock them up and mistreat them. The same person is who God used. One of the same people, the way, is who God used to pray for him, the persecutor, baptize him, fill him with Holy Ghost, and heal him of his blindness. Huh? In Nahum, there are two ways that I'm going to explain Nahum chapter 1 and 9 to you. God is giving a warning to the enemy. He is telling the enemy, your enemy, his enemy, that he's not going to come a second time and talk to them because he's already spoken. He is not going to speak to your enemies twice because he has already spoken. And again, he will not have to speak to them twice because why? He has said he is going to utterly destroy them. He said the affliction will end. And the reason the affliction is going to end is because he's going to destroy them. You see, they might want to try to harm you, but God is saying it's not going to work because he has stopped them. And the second is this. The enemy will not make war with you again. That's what God is saying. They will not war with you again because he, God, is stopping it. He said the affliction will end. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, it says this, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." So God is saying, you don't have to fight your battles anymore. You don't have to try to figure this thing out for yourself anymore. Amen? God is saying he will cause the Egyptians in your life. He will cause the Pharaohs in your life. He will cause the Sauls in your life to think well of you. He will turn their hearts. Remember, he turned the Pharaoh's heart, hardened the Pharaoh's heart so he will continue to pursue you. Now God is doing the opposite of that. When he spoke to Moses in Exodus 3 verses 2 to 5 from the burning bush and says, I'm going to send you into Egypt. And I'm going to tell you, Moses, to tell that Pharaoh, I said, to let my people go. That's it. He's not talking anymore. 10 plagues he sent on Egypt. Plague number 10 was the plague, what? The death angel that came and killed all the Egyptian firstborn. That ended it. After that, the Pharaoh let God's people go. Well, what God is saying, it ain't going to take 10 plagues for your enemies to stop. Because God say he's only going to speak once. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 9. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. No more. God has spoken. He has spoken. Moses is living in the back bush of Midian for about 40 years now. He's looking after his father-in-law's sheep. And while he's back there tending sheep, God is preparing him for his new task. Here Moses thinks that he is free. He's in Midian. And God shows up to talk to Moses. And he calls him not once, but twice. And when God says, Moses, Moses, or he calls your name twice, it's because what he has to say to you is important. It was so important. God says, you got to remove your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. You got to show respect to God. You got to reverence God. Saul, before he became Paul, immediately as God shunned the light from heaven, the light from heaven shone round about Saul. Immediately, he became reverent. Immediately, he respected God. Because this entire time, he had no respect for God. But when the presence of God showed up, Saul had no other reason. Saul had no choice but to respect God. It wasn't until he got up from the earth that he realized that he was physically blind. The last plague on Egypt was at midnight. God passed over the land of Egypt, y'all, and to kill every firstborn Egyptian. Not just humans, but animals too. Only the Israelite children were allowed to what? Survive. Do you know why you are alive today? Do you know why your enemies have not overcome you? It is because God is the one that is protecting you. He is the one who has kept you. Amen? He sent water. He turned water into blood. That was plague number one. Plague number two, he sent frogs. Number three, he sent lice. Number four, he sent flies. Number five, he sent livestock pestilence. The animals. Amen. Number six was what? Boils. Seven was hail. Eight was locusts. Giant grasshoppers, if you want to call it that. He sent darkness. So thick, you could cut it with a knife. And plague number 10 is when he killed all the firstborn Egyptian children. You know, God could have used any one of the plagues to annihilate the Egyptian. But he chose not to. And he chose not to was because he chose to extend mercy. He chose to give them time to get it together. It's the same with you. And it's the same with me. Think of all the times that God could have judged us according to what? Our sin. Think about it. How many times could God have judged you according to your sins? How many times could God have killed you because of your sinful ways? How many times he could have done that? Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 14. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell, in verse 14 of Revelation 20, says, were cast in the lake of fire, into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Y'all, God told the king of Nineveh that he was going to destroy him. He said, no more of thy name be sown. In other words, no more children coming from your loins. No more false gods. No more worshiping false gods. God is saying, I'm going to utterly destroy Nineveh. Why? Because Nineveh has destroyed God's people. He said, there is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. He is talking. He is saying to Nahum in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 11, the wicked counselor is the king of Nineveh. Understand that wherever believers go, the world just persecutes us. My goodness. Just persecutes us. And God says, thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down. When he shall pass through, though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. And understand this, like Job, your enemy cannot operate in your life without the explicit permission of God. The enemy, the adversary, the enemies of God can do nothing to you unless God gives them the explicit permission. Satan cannot touch your life unless God say, go ahead. And God might say, go ahead because you're walking in sin. Or God might say, go ahead because he's testing you. God might say, go ahead because he's pruning you. God might say, go ahead because he's purging you. God might say, go ahead because he's testing your integrity. Amen. But understand, whatever your test, whatever your trial, whatever the temptation, whatever the struggle, whatever the fire you're going through today, know that whatever extent it is, Satan can only go as far as God says to go in your life. Ask Job. Ask Samson. Ask the Apostle Paul. Ask them. God says, I will cause the Egyptians to think well of you. So when you leave Egypt, they will give you many what? Gifts. You will take many valuable things away from the Egyptians. God says, you see, when you come out this affliction, you ain't coming out empty-handed. You're not going to suffer in vain. Your labor is not in vain. You endure. You can't pray freely in your house because you live with an unbelieving husband. You can't pray freely in your house because you live with an unbelieving wife. Or you can't pray freely in your house because you and your spouse are Christians, but she don't believe in speaking in tongues, but you believe in speaking in tongues, or vice versa. So you can't pray in the Holy Ghost because this one believes is foolishness. That is still persecution. And God says, no, 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 no more. He will speak no more to your enemies. God God is the one that is going to keep the Pharaohs in your life. The Pharaohs in your life from continuing to oppress you. From continuing to destroy you. God himself is going to do it. And that's why he said vengeance belongs to him. Revelation 20 and 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Let me tell you something. There is a fire reserved for your enemies. We don't wish ill on no man as believers. But if a man decides he wants to stay unholy, the Bible says, let him remain unholy still. If he wants to stay unjust, let him stay unjust still. This is what the Bible says. And if he or she decides to remain in the state, the sinful, vile state that he or she is in, the Bible says in Revelation 20 and 15, they will be cast into the lake of fire. You know, Moses said to the Lord, he said to the Lord, when the Lord, after the children of Israel disobeyed God and Aaron was pressured into building them this golden calf that they worship, because Moses went to meet with God and they said, this Moses, we don't know what has happened of him. He's been gone so long. Build us a God that we could worship. This is after they are out of Egypt and in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. They went right back into rebellion. Hallelujah. And Aaron made the golden calf and they worshiped this thing. And God said to Moses, he said, Moses, go on down to the camp because these people are in disobedience again. When Moses got there, he realized what was happening. And God says, I am going to pour my wrath out on them. And I am telling you, if God will pour his wrath out on his people, what do you think he will do to your enemies, his enemies? God says to Moses, I'm going to destroy them completely. And Moses says, don't destroy them, God. Have mercy on them. Because if you destroy them, the Egyptians are going to say you brought them out of Egypt because you wanted to mock them. You brought them out of Egypt because you wanted to destroy them. You brought them out of Egypt. And because you cannot get them into the promised land, this is why you kill them. Moses says, if you kill them, blot my name out the book of life. Moses said, remove my name out of the book of life because this is a waste of time. Moses says, I left the back bush of Midian and I went into Egypt as the deliverer and I brought them out as you have instructed. And now you want to destroy them? Moses is saying, I can't be laboring in vain. You can't kill these people because the enemies, God, are going to say that you can't do what you say you're going to do. So don't destroy them. He says, if you do that, erase my name from the book of life. There is a book of life, people. You can either choose for your name to be written in it or erased from it. And God said to Moses, he said, no, I am not removing your name from this book. I'm not removing your name, Moses, from this book of life. He says the only people, names that will be removed from the book of life is people who have sinned against me and refuse to serve me and refuse to repent of their sins. He says everybody has to bear their own burdens. Numbers chapter 16, verse 31. And I'm going to go to verse 33. Numbers 16, 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into what? The pit. And the earth closed up upon them, and they perished. Korah, Dathan, Abiram made the decision to rebel against God. Because when you rebel against the servants of God, when you rebel against the people of God, when you persecute the people of God, amen, you're persecuting God. You're coming against God. And God gave these men and their houses and their family and their dog and their cat, amen, a one-way ticket to hell. It said the earth opened and they all went all the way down, straight down into hell. And then the earth closed up on them. Understand that God says, no, that is their punishment. The earth swallowed them up. The earth swallowed Korah, Dathan, Abiram. Moses prophesied in verse 30. He says, but if, number 16, verse 30, but if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertained unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. When you see wicked people, unrighteous people, unholy people, judgmental people, criticizing people, gossiping people, persecuting people, going through thunder, don't ask why, because it's the wrath of God. Moses says, listen, if God doesn't do a new thing today, God is not God, and God is God. And the people that are persecuting you are provoking God. So when you see calamity in their life, don't cry for them. Hallelujah. Just know that God is at work because he sees them. He sees them. And they hear him. They might pretend like they don't hear the voice of God, but they hear the voice of God, just like they hear the voice of the enemy, because Saul heard God. And the Bible says when he got up from the earth, when he stood up, the people that were around heard a voice, but they saw no man. The enemy, your enemy, hears God. So don't ask why or what is happening in their life. Don't ask why. It is God at work. Nahum chapter 2. Let me read verses 9 to 10. Take ye the spoil of silver, take the spoil of gold, for there is none end of the store and glory out of all the pleasant furniture. She is empty and void and waste, and the heart melted, and the knees smite together, and much pain in all loins, and the faces of them all gather blackness. You know, I told you, you're not going to come out of your fiery situation. You're not going to come out of your suffering empty-handed. God is going to take everything from your enemy and give it to you. You can write it down. You can write this date down. I am telling you, God is going to take everything from your persecutors and he's going to give it to you. Understand, Nebuchadnezzar was used to punish Israel, the children, the Hebrews. But God turned around after he used Nebuchadnezzar to punish the Israelites. He turned around and he punished Nebuchadnezzar. Hallelujah. God used the Pharaoh in Egypt to punish the children of Israel for 400 years. And after he used the Pharaoh to punish them, he turned around and he punished Egypt. He punished them. The highway he made into the sea, in the sea, for the children of Israel to walk through on dry ground, that same highway became a burying ground for the Egyptians. So whoever he's using in your life, whether you are in sin or not in sin, Satan was used to kind of punish Job for what he never did, because Job did nothing. God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, why would I even consider him? You have him so protected. But God says, okay, I'm going to move the walls, but you can do this, but you can't do that. Satan was used to kill Job's son, steal all his property. Amen. Steal his health. God turned around and then he punishes Satan for punishing Job. Understand, he's going to give you double for your trouble. Hallelujah. Double for your trouble, just like he did for Job. Hallelujah. You're not going to come out empty-handed. God says you will never leave empty-handed. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God says, go, but take their earrings, take their necklaces, take their bracelet, take their anklets, take their clothes, put it on your sons, put it on your daughters. Take it. And the same blessings that God gave to the children of Israel, they turn around and gave it back to Satan. They gave it to Aaron, and he made a golden calf so that they could worship it. Don't take the blessings that God is getting ready to put into your hand and give it back to the enemy. Amen? Job was longing for death. Job didn't understand what was going on with his life. He says his soul was in misery. His soul was bitter. He longed for death. Amen? He didn't understand what was going on with him. His wife said to him, curse God and die. He says, you're speaking like one of the foolish women speak. Can God do good in my life and not do evil in my life? You see, you might not have been walking in sin, but you're suffering like you're walking in sin. But look at Job's story and know that whatever you're going through, do not allow the enemy to blame you for it. Hallelujah. People make choices whether or not they want to allow Satan to use them to do his bidding, to do his dirty work in your life. Amen. Do not begin blaming yourself. And if you are walking in sin, come out of that sin. Isaiah 40:1 says, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Comfort means stop. Stop them suffering. Make them strong. Make them well again. This is what God is saying to you. He has stopped your enemy. Amen? He has stopped the Pharaoh from persecuting you. Job got double for his trouble. He even got back the children he lost. He got double for his trouble. Listen, trust God. Deuteronomy 11:24 says, every place whereon the soles of thy feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. Don't worry. You won't have to bear these burdens anymore. Psalm 16:6 says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. You're not gonna stay in the state that you are, because God is faithful. He is faithful. And he says, it is finished. And because God says it is finished, it is finished. Remember Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Amen. God is not going to speak anymore to your enemies. Because it has stopped. Amen. It has stopped. They're going to try to run away. But it says in the Bible in Nahum that it's going to be like, kind of like sharp bushes have caught them. It's going to be like when they're trying to run away, it's going to be like they're like drunkards. You know how drunkards can't even stay a balance? That's how it's going to be with your enemies. God is going to cut them off. He's going to cut off their name. They will have no children and no gods and no altars. Amen. God goes as far to say, he will decide where they will be buried. And the reason God is going to do these things to your enemies is because they've imagined evil, not against you, but against God. Because like I said, when your enemy comes against you, they're actually coming against God. God bless you. Until next time, I'm Pastor Desiree Parks.